Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have faithfully led us all of our lives, whether we know it or not. And now we pray that you would come this morning and speak into each one of our hearts. Give us the ears to hear, the eyes to see. And Lord, that you would convert those parts of our lives that stand in rebellion against you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, life coach Gary Van Warmerdam wrote about a client that he recently had who was trying to lose weight. Well, after some early success, she couldn't figure out why she wasn't able to lose weight anymore. In fact, she's actually gaining weight and had gone back to her old habits of eating the things that she shouldn't be eating. And with some investigation, it was discovered that there was an idea in her mind that had actually been there for some time. She felt deprived when she didn't eat everything that she wanted. And so she ate to avoid those feelings. And so this unconscious belief that she had was driving her unwanted behaviors, and so she wasn't able to lose any more weight. Now, our behaviors don't just happen by chance. You know, there are powerful underlying beliefs that influence the way that we live and the choices that we make. And those set of beliefs, those beliefs that form our overall perspective and how we interpret the world is called our mindset or worldview. And that worldview influences our priorities, our decisions, and our actions. And so the best indication of what you truly believe, of what in your heart of hearts you truly hold to be important, is how you live your life now. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. This is the gospel reading that we just got through reading. And in Mark chapter 1, we have God incarnate, Jesus Christ, who appears on the scene. He's literally broken into our world, and he announces that the time has come. The time has now been fulfilled in his coming. The kingdom of God is now at hand. And as a result, we human beings stand at a critical juncture in history. How we respond to the coming of the kingdom of God matters significantly, and it will determine the course, not only for the rest of our lives, but for our eternity. Now, from the Gospels, we know that people responded to Jesus in different ways. So in Mark 14, we have a woman who anointed Jesus with a costly ointment. It was undoubtedly the most expensive possession that we had. But she literally just poured it all over him to show her utter devotion to him. Now, by contrast, in Mark chapter 3, we have the teachers of the law who accused Jesus of casting out demons by satanic power and later on plotted to kill him. How is it that people can respond to Jesus in such conflicting ways? Well, this is where our mindset becomes really critical. How we think will impact not only our actions, but how we respond to the voice of Jesus. And so what is it that you really believe? So I came to faith when I was a teenager. I was in college, and I got really involved with a parachurch organization called InterVarsity. Some of my best friends from college were those that I met there, and I really came to faith. And then after college, I joined a church, and I even taught Sunday school. And so I was involved as a Christian. And yet, despite this, my worldview had really not changed. Even though I was a Christian and identified that way, I still held a secular mindset. Belief in Jesus had not profoundly changed the way I lived and the choices that I made. You know, in a secular worldview, God is absent in the normal rhythm of reality. Reality is what we see with our eyes. In a secular worldview, we place a premium on our autonomy and our self-fulfillment. We understand that the opportunities that we have and the success that we enjoy is a product of our giftedness or simply our hard work. And so I look back at the way that I lived, and it's apparent to me that I had a secular mindset. How do I know this? Because it was the circumstances and it was my rational thinking that guided the choices and actions that I made, not the voice of God. So I remember in my early 30s, I was offered a new job. I would be getting more money, I would have more responsibility. And I remember just taking some time, sitting down with my friend, you know, wondering, you know, should I take this job or not? And so we literally sat down and we went through all the pluses and the minuses to determine, well, was this God's will or not? And even though this particular opportunity would mean that I'd have to travel across the country, I ultimately decided this has got to be God's will. And the one factor more than any that drove that decision was this: the desire of my heart. And because God gives us the desires of our heart, then that must be God's will, right? Well, not always, and not even mostly. You know, it was the Israelites' desire to return to Egypt, but it was clearly not God's plan. It was David's desire to build a temple for the Lord, but God told him that he had shed too much blood to be able to do so. And it was Jesus' desire not to lay down his life, but the voice of the Father clearly told him to do otherwise. You know, in a secular worldview, we don't take the time to seek or to listen to God's will. Rather, we look inside of ourselves, at our circumstances, at our desires, at our rational thoughts, and we make decisions. And so a larger paycheck must mean, well, God wants me to get a bigger house and a fancier car. And a wrong done to me must mean that I'm supposed to retaliate. Or a loss of a spouse must mean that I'm supposed to move closer to my family. Or getting old must mean I'm supposed to retire. And the list could go on and on. You know, the biggest problem with a secular mindset is that it puts us in the position where we become incapable of hearing the voice of God. You know, one of the saddest cases in all of the scriptures is the story of the rich young man in Mark chapter 10. So here was a young man. He was a man of some means, and he sees Jesus, and he asks Jesus, you know, how can I attain eternal life? And when Jesus told him to sell all of his possessions and to give it to the poor, he sat literally stunned. You know, in Jewish society, it was generally taken for granted that wealth was to be welcomed as a mark of God's blessing. So he thought his riches were a good thing. But his attachment to them and his conviction that he was to embrace them as God's blessing blinded him from being able to hear the voice of God, which was being spoken to him at that very moment. Now, let's contrast the secular mindset with a Christian one. You know, in a Christian worldview, an encounter with Jesus changes everything. In a Christian worldview, when we see Jesus, when we hear the voice of Jesus, it tremendously impacts us. We can't live our lives in the same way. A Christian worldview necessarily restructures our lives. So as Jesus begins his ministry in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "The kingdom of God is here. And here's what's required now that the kingdom of God has been revealed. Two things are required. He says repentance and belief. Now, repentance is an acknowledgement that we've been going in the wrong direction. So we've lived our lives with the wrong priorities, wrong choices, wrong behaviors. And now we decide to turn our lives around and to walk in another direction, in a direction toward Jesus. That's repentance. It's impossible to follow Jesus without repentance. And if you think otherwise, then it means that you can live your life just as you have, always have, and Jesus doesn't really change anything. Do you really need a Savior if that's the case? No. Every person who decides to follow Jesus will necessarily need to repent. And in fact, it's a lifelong process. The Lord is constantly showing us areas of our lives that we need to repent of. But there's another aspect that's required, a second one, and that's belief. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Paul defines belief or faith this way. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So a Christian mindset acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord over all. Not just Lord over the heavens and the earth, but Lord over every part of our lives. And that means there can't be any part of our lives that we hold back from him. So a Christian worldview gives up the right to personal autonomy. Jesus has access to our whole life. And we really see this dramatically in Mark chapter 1, when Jesus came to the sons of Zebedee, James and John. So they were fishermen who happened to be mending their nets. And upon seeing them, Jesus said to them, "Follow me." And look at what they did. They were able to hear the voice of Jesus, and they left their father, and they left their career to follow him. Now, that could have meant hardship for their father, but look at what these brothers did. They hired servants to help their dad so that nothing would stand in the way of their obedience to the voice of Jesus. And that's what making Jesus the Lord of our lives means. Now, besides restructuring our lives through repentance and making Jesus Lord, a Christian mindset requires us to believe in the miraculous. The whole premise of Christianity is based on a miracle. The miracle that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, it's not our normal experience to experience resurrections. I've personally never seen anyone resurrected from the dead. And so to hold a Christian worldview, you have to believe in something that you can't prove. You have to believe in a reality that you can't see with your eyes. The spiritual reality of the kingdom of God. And that perspective causes us to look at our circumstances differently from someone with a secular mindset. In a secular worldview, our lives are limited by what we see with our eyes. In the physical world, which is what we see is what matters, our abilities determine what's possible. But in a Christian worldview, our circumstances are merely a backdrop through which we learn how to trust the Lord and to see his power working in our lives. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that we read this morning, Paul makes it clear that each of us have a God-given calling. And therefore the circumstances and the condition of our lives are going to be different because that calling in our life is different. So as we go through life, the default, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:20, is to remain in the condition that we are called in. In other words, we shouldn't make the focus of our lives trying to change our circumstances or getting depressed if things are not going the way we want them to go. You know, when the Israelites were journeying in the wilderness after the Exodus, you'll remember that they constantly got discouraged by their circumstances. You know, why is there no water? Why can't we have meat? Why do we have to listen to this guy Moses? You know, they thought the answer was to go back to Egypt. Let me just get away from all this and go back to Egypt. But God was teaching them not to rely on themselves, but to turn to the Lord for contentment and provision. You know, as I think about it, I wish I'd meditated more on these scriptures in the earlier part of my life, in the early part of my Christian journey. You know, between the ages of 19 and 37, I moved 10 times, a move every 21 months, often to very far off places. And as I contemplated these moves, I was often filled with confusion. What's God's will? I kept asking myself. And now I know we don't change our circumstances unless we hear the voice of God specifically asking us to do so. Each of us needs to understand the context to which we've been called to, and within that context, to call upon the power of God for help. In a Christian mindset, we understand life's not about self-actualization, but about remaking us into the image of God's Son, Jesus, so that he can use us for the expansion of his kingdom. In particular, he wants us to begin having a heart for people, those people around us in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and social networks. People that we might previously have ignored. And that's why when Jesus called Simon and Andrew, he told them that he would make them into fishers of men. And so a Christian worldview causes us, inspires us to look at other people differently. We begin to see that they are lost souls who desperately need the love of God. Our actions today impact the future generations and will impact this nation more than we might fathom. So several years ago, I read a book called The Lost History of Christianity. And in the book, Philip Jenkins contrasts two of the ancient Christian societies, Carthage in northern Africa, and the Coptic Church in Egypt. One no longer exists, and the other is thriving today. Now, the church at Corinth was the home of some of the great Christian leaders, people that you may have heard of before, Tertullian, Cyprius, and Augustine. But it failed to carry the faith beyond the Romanized inhabitants of the cities. These were the educated people who spoke Latin. But the average person outside of the city didn't speak Latin. They spoke Berber. The church showed no interest in reaching out to these other people. And when the Arabs conquered the area in the 7th century, the Berber-speaking people rapidly converted to Islam, while the Latin-speaking people immigrated to Europe. The church disappeared in a generation. Now, by contrast, the Coptics in Egypt shared the gospel with their neighbors in the language that they spoke, which was Coptic. That was the language that was derived from the pyramid builders. So ingrained did Christianity become in that culture that when the Arabs conquered that land, they could not uproot the Christian faith of the people. And so even today, 10% of Egyptians are Christians. So a Christian worldview will make it a priority to pray for the lost. It will make it a priority to invest in others. And when given an opportunity, to invite them to church or to a Bible study. Today, in some places in Europe, like France, There are now more mosques than churches. Christianity is practically dead. And the same could be true of our nation in a generation. The answer is not more laws favoring Christians. The answer is having a Christian mindset that takes seriously the call of Jesus to make disciples. So to which worldview do you have? Honestly, think about how you live. Consider what you actually do, not what you think you believe. A secular one or a Christian one? You know, we'll never be able to fully join Christ in proclaiming the kingdom of God unless we have a Christian worldview. And so I want to encourage you this morning that if you really ponder this and think you have a secular worldview, then take the time to repent of that. Seek Jesus. He's speaking to us even now. But you and I have to be in a place where we're able to hear that voice. Amen.